Warning. The program you're about to hear is absolutely filthy and thoroughly disgusting. Furthermore, listening to it will immediately turn you into a bottom.
But listen, when it's messy, it's a problem for everyone in the room.
Correct.
All 10 of them.
I'm proud to declare the Adam Sank Show and his arse open to the wind.
Ass open to the wind.
This is fuckery. This is all fuckery. Fuckery, fuckery, fuckery.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now,
give a warm round of applause to my friend and yours, Adam Sank.
Whoop, whoop. Hello? Am I on? Welcome. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show. My mic was turned down. We are not live, but it's a brand new episode. If you're listening at 11 a.m. Eastern, Saturday, November 5th, for Christ's sake, we're in November already, in the year 2022 at dnrstudios.com and the DNR Cast app, the only place to hear this podcast the first week that it airs. And if you listen anywhere else, please, for God's sake, leave us ratings and reviews. We love them. We read them. I masturbate to them. It's a whole thing. Call the ass hotline anytime you want at 804-TALK-ASS. That's 804-825-5277. Email me anything you want at adam@adamsank.com. Get vaccinated, boosted, stand with Ukraine, and vote like your life depends on it, because it does. You heard it here first. Our guest today is Deanna Ortiz. She is the social media manager from the Mr. Man website. We've talked about Mr. Man many times on this show. It's essentially the gay version of Mr. Skin. Mr. Skin is sort of an archive, a clearinghouse, if you will, of all of the places you can see naked female celebrities, and Mr. Man is the same thing for naked male celebrities. So every TV show, every movie that a penis or an ass belonging to a man appears in, you can find out where and how to find it on the Mr. Man website. But first, I need to introduce my co-host this week. And once again, because we do two episodes in a day, Steve is out with COVID again.
Poor Steve.
But by the time this airs, I'm sure he will be fully recovered. And in the meantime, we are thrilled to have back everyone's favorite Twinkster comedian, Drew Lausch.
Thank you for having me.
Drew.
Again.
You know, what we forgot to do last week was plug any of your upcoming appearances, your website, all the things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I have a show. I'm doing my hour with my comedy partner, Zach Teague. We're doing our hour.
Whom I'm obsessed with.
Yes. He's very beautiful. Called Baby Gay on November 11th at Chelsea Music Hall. And if you haven't watched, the Alan Cumming Showtime special, you should, because Zach and I are in it.
So fabulous. Yeah. What's the name of the special?
It's kind of a long one. It's like Club Cumming Presents a Queer Extravaganza, hosted by Alan Cumming.
Look at you with the TV credits.
I know, yeah, but it's really cool. So if anyone's listening and you have a Showtime subscription, because not a lot of people have Showtime subscriptions, but if you do, I would love if you watched it.
You know, Drew, when I met you, you were fresh off the bus from North Dakota.
I was,
had
yeah.
Had just landed in New York.
I know.
And I knew you were going to make it.
Thanks.
I can spot talent. I don't have any myself, but I can spot it.
That's not true. And you gave me my first paid gig, so.
Naked.
Yeah.
Naked and paid.
Hell yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Thanks.
And I haven't watched that yet, but I'm going to. Also with us, as always, is our producer, the queen of fuckery, JB Bursey. Welcome, JB.
Hello.
I like that this two headphone look that you've got going on. The blue one looks like a headband.
Okay, so what's happening is that, you know, we get a 10-minute break during in between shows.
Yes.
So since yesterday, I've been calling GameStop because they fucked up my game order. I'm trying to change it. So I'm still on hold.
Are you multitasking?
Yep. I am still on hold because it's been 12 minutes now.
Wait, what game? What game is it for?
Pokemon.
Okay.
The one that's coming out in November. Yeah.
I fully
paid for it off. So like, my whole thing is like, I'm already on hold for too long to hang up.
Well, I want to give you some kudos, JB, because I'm always bitching and complaining. The sound of last week's episode was perfect.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
And the fact that you hit all your sound cues, all of the sound effects, all of the clips that we wanted you to play perfectly.
Thank you. The fact
that you did that while being on hold for GameStop is quite impressive.
Thank you so much.
Let me start by asking both of you, has either one of you ever been suspended from social media? Temporarily or permanently?
Yes, temporarily. Yeah, temporarily I was from TikTok, because a lot of my videos are like I'm talking about like sex or like funny sex, you know what I mean? So there was like a few, but it was like a day. Like it was like you can't post or for a day or two. So it wasn't like, you know.
JB?
I guess that's suspended, but I had a profile deleted.
Wow.
Yeah, because this is in high school when Facebook and stuff first came out and whatnot. Mm. So, you know, there was this ex I dated, and I had this backup profile, which was just me being a naughty, naughty girl. And he reported it, yeah, just because he was jealous. And I was very bad.
So you had like a secret slut profile.
Yes.
Also, I'm obsessed with you. That's incredible.
What were you posting on it?
Pictures of my butt.
Naked?
Yeah.
And see, how did Facebook even allow that?
Because you don't post it like to everyone. It's only to the people who you follow that know about your life.
Well, this is what pisses me off, because I am constantly getting kicked off Facebook.
Really?
For non-infractions. And meanwhile, everyone I know is showing their entire ass naked in their Facebook stories and posts, dick prints, bulges, like the skimpiest of bikini briefs. And I get put in Facebook jail for 3 days at a time for the most ridiculous violations. So the most recent was, there's a young rapper named NLE Choppa. He's 19. He's from Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a top 40 Billboard hit back in 2019 called Shot a Flow. He's got 1.6 million followers on Twitter. And he posted a picture of himself on Twitter, fully clothed, but in very tight pants, kind of like leggings, with his dick hard. And his dick is massive.
Mm.
Like, he's a tiny little guy, and his dick is bigger than his arm.
Hot.
For real. And, you know, it got a lot of attention, and some of his followers were like, what are you, gay? Like, why are you showing your dick to the world? And so he tweeted, first and foremost, I love myself, and I'm comfortable enough in my skin to show the beauty God blessed me with. Secondly, I love all, so I don't mind attracting both genders. But most importantly, my sexual preference is women. Please stop trying to make me something I'm not. So I was compelled to respond. This is on Twitter. I respond with, one, it's a sexual orientation, not a preference.
Mm-hmm.
Two, why is that the most important thing? And three, how do you get hard without passing out? And I thought it was funny. And it wasn't getting any attention on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So I took screenshots of him showing the dick print and his tweet and my response. And I put those on Facebook on the Adam Sank Show page. And instantly I was in jail.
Mm.
Now, a lot of people out there seem to think it's that someone's reporting me. No one is reporting me. These are bots that think that they see a naked picture because there's a black man wearing black pants with a big dick imprint, and they just assume that's a naked body when it's not.
Right.
There was no nudity, but that's what I was suspended for, was showing genital nudity. And then there's a button that says, do you disagree with this decision, which I always hit, and then a second later I get a thing saying, nope, we were right the first time, you're suspended for 3 days. It is infuriating to me.
Yeah. I also think that that once you've been suspended or like banned once, it's like easier for it's like all of a sudden you're on everybody's radar.
100%. I am on the Facebook terrorist watch list.
You're like shadow banned.
I've gotten kicked off for like quoting someone, like quoting something that had the word like fuck you in it or cunt or whatever, and immediately I'm blocked because of hate speech. Do you understand? Like, I'm quoting someone else saying, this person said to me, go fuck yourself. You're suspended for 3 days.
Yeah.
They think I'm like a fucking criminal. Meanwhile, there's actual criminals posting political threats, misinformation, COVID lies, you know, insurrectionist shit, and they're fine. Facebook has no problem with them. It is so infuriating to me. And I know the answer is to just get off Facebook and get off Twitter now that fucking Elon Musk is in charge. Like, it's all just going to be a fucking cesspool.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm addicted to it.
Yeah.
And also, it's how I promote this podcast.
Right.
So I don't know what to do.
Well, I feel like your TikToks are getting pretty popular, right?
So not really. Oh, I rarely do them.
I guess because like I have your number. I also do want to say this really quick. My mom was suspended from Twitter because she posted threatening tweets to Donald Trump, which I think is
good
hilarious.
For her.
I know they banned her for a moment. They were like, "You're tweeting violent things."
Bravo.
Like, about, I know, which
well,
I like love.
She should try it again now that Elon Musk is in charge because it's a fucking free for all.
Yeah.
Anyway. Just my rant. And also, if you want to see a really huge dick print, check out NLE Choppa's Twitter. Have you already been there, JB, in the time we've been talking about this?
No.
You're not interested?
Mm-mm.
Okay. This next story is dedicated to JB. It's the only reason I'm doing the story.
Yay!
And this was on QueerT via Reddit, and it's gamers, G-A-Y-M-E-R-S, gamers name their hottest video game characters. I feel like we've done this story before.
Hottest video game character? I don't think so. The things we talked about of hot lists would be superheroes.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Okay, well, I don't know any of this.
Who did they name? I'm really curious.
I've only heard of like two of these games, let alone the characters. But
okay.
Here we go, and I'll stop, JB, when you want to make a comment. Otherwise, I'm just going to go through these quickly.
Great.
Caden Alenko from Mass Effect.
Oh, yes. Dear God, yes. God, yes.
What's hot about him?
Okay, so Caden Alenko, Mass Effect is an RPG game where you play as a military commander and you pretty much save the world. Caden is one of your squad mates, but he's one earnest, kind of sweet, really good looking. When they remade the game, they made him super handsome, cut jaw, everything. And then when he takes off his shirt, he got body, yaddy, 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 because I slept with him through the first game and the third game. So
you can
yes.
sleep with the character?
Yes, because again, you play all your own RPG character, so you're solving mysteries, having romantic intertwines with men and women, whoever the fuck you feel like. This is your world. You do the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, the next one on the list is Alistair, Dragon Age Origins.
Alistair, okay, yes.
You yes. know all these people.
That's another RPG game. Again, a very...
What does RPG stand for?
Role-playing game.
Okay, okay.
Yes.
So they're really fun.
Kind of like a video Dungeons & Dragons.
Yes, yes. But again, you have romancing with characters or have characters hate you. Plenty of options to go. But Alistair, yes.
Also from Dragon Age, this one is Dragon Age Inquisition, Dorian Pavis or Pavis?
Oh, really? Okay.
Pass.
Not interested?
Not interested, yeah.
Nathan Drake from Uncharted?
Yeah!
Oh my God. This is the happiest I've ever seen JB.
Oh, Nathan Drake. Okay, so Uncharted is pretty much the male version of Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
Just this main character who just is a treasure hunter. He's, again, jawline cut, beard, body, yaddy, yaddy for days. Oh, Lord have mercy, yes.
Farkas from The Elder Scrolls versus Skyrim.
Oh, no, I didn't play Elder Scrolls. I'm sorry.
Hrungar, also from that game. Lucio from Overwatch.
Oh, Lucio.
Also Roadwatch from Overwatch. Roadhog.
Roadhog, yes. Definitely Roadhog.
Someone on Reddit said Roadhog has some serious kink vibes, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Dante from Devil May Cry 3.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know this too, Drew?
I don't know as many as JB. JB's the expert, but I know the Uncharted one and I know this one. He's really hot. He's like platinum hair. Yeah.
Someone on Reddit said, as a gay teen in 2005 with no computer in my house, I can't tell you how many times I restarted this game for this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Probably restarted the game a few hundred times before I actually played it. So I guess this kid was jerking off to it.
Hey, yeah. Got to get yours.
In the opening scene, Dante is fighting demons with his shirt off, just kicking ass. And then the demons stab him and he just walks away while eating pizza. It's very hot.
That
and
is hot. So,
yeah.
Michael DeSanta from Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yes.
Someone on Reddit said, since I'm into daddies with emotional attachment issues.
Yes, that's exactly
everybody's got
why.
An ish, yeah.
Yeah.
Vaz Montenegro from Far Cry 3.
I ain't played Far Cry series.
Someone wrote, I imagine he would be a rough lay. Chris Redfield from Resident Evil 5.
Yes!
Yeah, Hundo
yes.
P.
100. Chris Redfield all the time, 100 now. I think, first of all, I think they did him justice in Resident Evil 6. He was super hot there because he was more built.
Yeah.
Someone on Reddit wrote, them bodybuilder punching arms and that butt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. He's hot. Yeah.
Piers Niven's from Resident Evil 6.
Yep. That's Chris's duo buddy. He was also hot. Oh, Lord.
Joel Miller from The Last of Us. Someone wrote, dude has intense daddy energy.
He does. The Last of Us is the zombie series where he travels with this little girl.
Is that the dad?
Yeah, but yeah. It's not his daughter.
Right.
But yeah, it's the daddy that you play, the main character. Yeah, he has scruff hair. He got the whole torture daddy thing going for him, and I'm here for it.
All right, there's two more. Nightwing from Gotham Knights.
Yes.
Someone writes, guys, you need to have a quick look at Dick Grayson, mm-hmm. who I guess is another name for Nightwing. Let's just say he is ... anatomically correct.
Yes.
He is. He's so hot. And there should be... Did you guys hear that one of the Robins is now bisexual, right?
Yes.
In a comic book?
There's been a lot of gay Batman and Robin stuff in the last few years.
I want the movie. Mm-hmm. I want them to be like, here's bisexual Robin. Going on a bisexual adventure.
The Bisexual Adventures of Robin, starring Drew Lausch.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
you're
absolutely.
Kind of a Robin.
I'll
Thank
be here
you.
For it.
Okay.
And finally, and I feel like we've talked about this, JB, Bowser from the Mario franchise. Isn't he a monster?
He is a monster. I don't understand. I don't get it.
It's giving fucking Casper. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, I don't know if
it's
that's
giving
the
BCL
vibe.
And,
yeah.
And, you know.
Someone wrote, guys, I have a thing for monster boys. So I've always loved Bowser.
That makes sense.
Well, I've never felt less interested in any story I've done on the ass, but I did it for you and apparently for Drew.
I love video games.
It, yeah,
any
I'm
of you other gamers out there.
That one game is not on the list, that should be on the list, is League of Legends, because every time they make a male character, he's fucking daddy for no goddamn reason. Just shirt off, beautiful body.
I mean, I think
body.
They know what they're doing because, A, there's clearly a gay fan base, but there's also,
certainly.
Like, straight guys want to look like those guys.
Yeah.
You know?
I also think in terms of video games.
So it's aspirational.
But in terms of video games, like how JB was talking about like the RPG and you can like fuck whoever you want. Like I think video games are so great for young queer individuals who are like want to explore their sexuality but don't like can't talk to anyone or whatever. Like I think video games are such a great in for that. To be like, oh, I'm going to fuck this guy on this video game and like, you know.
I mean, you guys, just to give you an idea of how much older I am, the first video game I ever played was Pong. It was two white lines hitting a tiny dot back and forth across the screen. So the idea of like masturbating to a video game is so
far. Have you never masturbated to Pong?
I tried to.
Yeah.
I fell asleep.
The only, yeah.
All right, so moving on. I've tried very hard not to do too much election stuff just because it's all so anxiety-producing for me and everybody else. But I couldn't skip this story. A GOP candidate in Arizona who previously talked about wanting to protect children from the progressive left dropped his race after he was allegedly caught masturbating in his truck near a preschool. His name is Randy Gene Kaufman, and he was on the ballot for the Maricopa County Community College District. I don't know what kind of position that is, but it's a very, very local position that one runs for. This took place on October 4th, but he only withdrew from the race a couple weeks later after the media got hold of the story. A police report said a police officer observed Kaufman in his truck parked in front of this preschool at around 4:30 p.m., The police officer said Kaufman appeared to be looking at a cell phone in one hand. I immediately became alarmed as I saw his pants down mid-thigh, and he was exposed, showing his fully erect nude penis. This is a quote. He was manipulating his genitals in a masturbatory manner. Masturbatory manner is also the name of my dream home.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you.
My memoir is going to be titled that.
Masturbatory manner.
Yeah.
Anyway. When he was busted by the cops, when the cops approached the car, his defense, he said, I'm really stressed.
My eyes can't roll hard enough. I mean, it's always the Republicans that are like the wannabe kid fuckers. You know what I'm saying?
Right, by
like,
the school, too.
Yeah, it's so nasty.
Drive
away. Yeah, but they have the gall to call a gay person you know what I mean? It's just such bullshit.
Yeah.
Kaufman was a retired prison supervisor with the Department of Corrections. That makes it even richer.
That's great.
His Facebook account has been disabled, and he now faces public sexual indecency charges. In a statement announcing the suspension of his campaign, he said, he, quote, will never stop fighting to protect the United States Constitution and the values that make America the greatest country in the world. He did not mention his arrest. JB, I think I can hear your hold music.
Wait. My bad. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's very quiet, but I can hear it. I feel like there's like theme music playing behind this.
I thought
like,
we were on an elevator. Masturbation for a story. Like...
Can you play our jerking off in front of preschool kids song? Thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, this was a story that really struck and disturbed me. I don't remember this, but almost 5 years ago during Miami Gay Pride, there was a gay couple that was viciously bashed. Totally, you know, they were just innocent bystanders. And four guys pulled up in a car and got out and started beating the shit out of them. And for some reason, it took 5 years for this case to finally be resolved. And what ended up happening is that the charges were dropped to a second-degree felony for all four of the defendants. The charge that they basically pled guilty to was battery with prejudice. They were all aged 20 or 21 at the time of the attack, and they will serve no jail time.
That's bullshit.
They were sentenced to 5 years probation, 200 hours of community service, and they have to complete an anger management course. This all happened after a Pride event in April of 2018. Both members of the couple that were the victims were in the courtroom, and apparently they agreed to this. Like, they accepted their apology, and they agreed to accept this plea. And I'm sorry, but I'm just not that forgiving.
No. No, I'd be like, no, absolutely not. I'd be like, I want jail time for them all.
I think it sends a really bad message.
Completely.
How do they not do jail time for that?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's really sad.
They originally claimed that they were, that it was like a fight and they were defending themselves because they thought their safety was at risk. But the circuit, Miami-Dade circuit judge Ariana Fajardo Orshan said at the time, there's nothing, because it was all caught on surveillance video. Mm-hmm. She said, there's nothing in that video. And I watched it over and over again that showed me that any of these defendants was in fear for the safety of their lives. In court, she said to the victims, I want to offer our sincere apology for the way some of our victim, the way some of our citizens have behaved. And then she said she found it incredible that the couple found it within themselves to allow their assailants to move on with their lives. I don't think they should move on with their lives till they go to prison.
Agreed. Also, like, you can't do shit like that to people and like get away with, like, that's so demoralizing to hear. And like the four men that did it, it's like, what's that, like the gay panic defense? It's like, it's, I feel like it's, that's the energy that they're giving
totally.
Off. Like, and, I was so scared about their homosexuality that I had to beat the shit out of them. It's like, what the fuck?
And also, they were 20 and 21. They weren't kids.
No.
They were full grown adults when they did this. So listen, I know that like forgiveness is spiritually healthy and necessary.
You can forgive and have people who are awful go to
That's
jail.
That's right. I would say I forgive you, but you need to pay a price for what you did.
Yeah.
Because it
the whole move thing about, on with their lives like that.
And the whole thing about hate crimes is a hate crime. The victims aren't just those victims. The victims is the entire are the entire community that now feels fear.
Yep.
Wherever they go.
Yeah, because it's great that this couple can forgive and be like, oh, we're going to move on with our lives. But this, if someone isn't reading the fine print of this case, then it looks like two gay guys got the shit beat out of them and nothing happened
to
the
assailants.
And
I'm not blaming the victims either.
No,
I'm
no.
saying the court system failed here.
Yes.
Because they should have done at least 6 months to a year in jail for that. Are you trying to get our guest?
I've already sent them an email at the very start of the show. Her and Ima at the very start of the show, and no one has joined our chat yet.
Okay, I'm just going to send a text. We're trying clean feed again, everyone. We're very optimistic on this show. Okay, so in other news, and in much happier news, have either of you watched SNL this season?
I've not like a full episode, but I've watched like clips and stuff.
What's cable?
Well, I don't have cable either, JB, but I do have the Peacock app.
Oh, it's also on Hulu, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
So I missed the first three episodes, and then I went back and started catching up because I was like, oh, I can watch these on Peacock. Anyway, the news is SNL has its first ever non-binary cast member.
Yeah. Yeah, Molly's really great.
Do you know Molly?
Yeah, I met Molly doing the Memphis Comedy Festival. I don't know, 3-4 years ago. I mean, it was a long time ago, but Molly's really lovely and hilarious.
So their name is Molly Kearney, and they are a University of Dayton alum. They first made an announcement on their Instagram post on September 15th saying Meat Brick moved to New York. I guess that's their nickname for themselves.
Yeah.
Head exploding. Thanks for the love, everyone. So I knew immediately that Molly was non-binary because the first sketch in which they appear, it was a sketch about all the new cast members and they're kind of like telling their stories about what it's like being a new cast member on SNL. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, oh, Lauren gave me some good advice about this. And oh, one of the writers told me this. And every time they go to Molly, they're like, Lauren asked me to kill Putin. It's like this over the top thing.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, this is the part where they sort of let everyone know they were non-binary.
I'm thrown in the back of a van. I hear a military guy scream, if she gets captured over there, she's on her own. And I wanted to be like, it's actually they, not she. But it didn't seem like the right moment for the pronoun talk. Then we drive straight through the night at like 100.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Kearney enters the cast after an exodus of huge talents, including Pete Davidson, Kate McKinnon, and Kyle Mooney, not to mention Cecily Strong and Adie Bryant. And, I mean, so many people left.
Yeah.
In 2019, Bowen Yang became the first out gay Asian cast member, and he was able to pave the way for Kearney and other queer comedians such as Punky Johnson to make their debuts on SNL. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, the first openly gay SNL cast member was Terry Sweeney back in the 80s.
Oh, sure.
Who I've been trying to get on this show forever.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. I didn't even realize that, but I love that.
Yeah, he used to play Nancy Reagan. He was famous for that.
I love it. That's awesome.
Besides Saturday Night Live, Kearney has had a variety of roles across TV. Most recently, they starred as Fern Danley in Amazon Prime's queer reimagining of A League of Their Own. Mm. They also starred in The Mighty Ducks, Game Changers. And in 2019, they headlined Comedy Central's Up Next Showcase. So congratulations to Molly.
Yeah, come on, Molly.
Progress. This is a story that I've been wanting to do for weeks, and it keeps getting pushed off the rundown, but it is ridiculous, and I want to talk about it. So, Drew, you remember who Rachel Dolezal is.
She's the one that was in blackface, right? She claimed that she was African-American.
She claimed African-American heritage when she had none.
Right, yeah.
And was the president of her local NAACP.
You got to get her on the show.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Well, you know, she's kind of a pathetic and desperate character. Like,
yeah.
I 100% condemn what she did and the fact that she continues to claim to be black when she's not.
Yeah.
But she is kind of a sad case. And one of the things that's happened since this scandal erupted a few years ago is that she can't get work.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hire this person.
Right.
And so her new gig is she's started an OnlyFans page.
I mean, I'm sure there's a few people out there who are like, yeah, I want to get in this.
That's a very specific
white
fetish.
Woman's, yeah, it
I'm
is.
Really into white women who pretend to be black. That's what gets me off.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's. I feel like the GOP candidate who was caught jerking off in front of the preschool is probably her main subscriber. Like number one fan, you know.
She posted on Instagram, I got approved, link in bio. She's 43 now, and as I mentioned, the former president of the Spokane, Washington NAACP chapter.
Does she have kids?
Yes.
Yeah, damn.
She's got kids. Black kids.
Oh.
That she adopted.
Oh.
One of whom was her, I think it's her adopted brother that she wound up raising.
Okay.
It's a whole thing. Because she had black adopted siblings and because she like hates her own parents so much, she sort of like decided that she was going to raise these kids and like be black herself. Like that's sort of her mentality.
Yeah. I wonder if Ryan Murphy has a series about her in the works.
I hope so.
Yeah.
There is a fascinating documentary about her that I watched.
Mm.
Anyway, she's charging $9.99 a month. According to a bullet-pointed list, her OnlyFans content will include the following. Monday motivation, gym, fitness, squats, and other stuff, followed by Wednesday workday, hair chair conversations with my clients, because she's a hairdresser.
Oh, okay.
Plus hair tutorials. Friday unwind. Alongside these routine themes, we'll be posting other random stuff, including foot pics and quote, posts of me using stuff people buy me from my Amazon wish list. So she's really trying to milk her notoriety for every penny that she can get.
But also, so is she not doing sex stuff? That list was like not sex.
It's not clear to me. it sounds like some of it might be like dominatrix wear, dominatrix gear.
Okay.
Like leather and latex and that sort of thing. But yeah. I don't know if she's showing her pussy.
Right.
If anyone out there has seen Rachel Dolezal's OnlyFans, please let us know if she's showing any titty or pussy.
Yeah.
JB, I need you to let me know what's going on with the guest. Meanwhile, here's another story that's been on the rundown for weeks, and I can finally get to it. Lil Nas X has asked his fans to stop doing poppers at his concerts.
Why?
I blame you for this, Drew.
Why me?
Because I know it's you in the front row.
Well, poppers are a hell of a drug. I mean, I think they're really fun. Enjoy them, right?
I'm currently not doing poppers, but in general, yes, I agree with you. A tweet from Lil Nas X asking his fans to stop doing poppers at his concerts has gone viral. The rapper is currently on his first live tour across North America, the Long Live Montero tour, which will then move to Europe. In September, he tweeted, "Stop doing poppers at my concert. You do not need your asshole relaxed to see me perform, industry baby." The tweet has had around 100,000 likes and lots of replies. Many pointed out that it was only a couple weeks before that Lil Nas X was encouraging fans to have an orgy at his shows.
Hmm.
So one person tweeted, "How the fuck is there going to be an orgy without poppers?" Someone else tweeted, "You ever been to an orgy and not bring poppers? I don't think so." Others said they would disobey his request. "You can't stop me." Several more expressed blissful ignorance about what poppers are. One person tweeted, "I'm going to have to go look this up on Urban Dictionary because I am so confused." With Lil Nas X, it's sometimes unclear, you know, whether he's joking or not with his tweets. However, a TikTok video he posted shortly after that reminded people that there are kids at his shows.
Mm.
The Montero hitmaker posted a clip of him invading. Oh, my God. Let me start that again. The Montero hitmaker posted a clip of him inviting his nephew up onto the stage at a recent concert, not invading his nephew, inviting him.
Yeah.
The youngster and the uncle danced together, and it was adorable. But you know what? He can't have it both ways.
He has
made himself a sex symbol.
Yeah.
And he's owned his gayness and his sexuality, and his videos are very sexual. His posts are very sexual. Then you can't turn around and be like, "But there's kids at my concert."
Yeah, no, absolutely. I also think like—
Pick a lane.
Yeah, I think like you can't— I mean, I feel like poppers are done so casually. Like, it's not just a sex thing. Like, people are
people
are not fucking in your concert. Like, they're just like getting a little head rush while they're dancing.
I agree.
You know?
Can I just say this is related to Lil Nas, but also to video games? Lil Nas became the joke president of League of Legends because they're doing a whole opening next week, and he's performing at the opening and whatnot. And he had a chance to create a character. I mean, it's a fully gay character, but he created the character with the crop top. I was like, that's so him.
What's the character's name?
Cassante.
Cute.
Cool. Yeah, great name.
Well, anyway, do not do poppers at Lil Nas X's concert, lest you face his wrath. Last story we'll do before we get to our fabulous guest is a British man has come forth to complain about the abuse he gets because of his enormous penis. This story, by the way, was sent to us by listener Derek, the one who called Steve Chris in the review and then sent Steve a dildo. Joe, no last name, 22, desperately tries to hide the massive bulge in his pants by wearing special underwear. Drew, you know about this.
Yeah.
But it's not
because I'm so hung.
But it's but it's not enough to stop the prying eyes of others walking down the street. He has to buy special underwear and try to support his large member. He appeared on TV to talk about this. He says he has to choose between staying at home or going out to have people stare at his crotch. Now, I have to point out, his penis is 9.5 inches, which is a big penis.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's so big that everyone on the street would be staring at you.
Oh, my God. I just told Drew that about this story. I was like, this dick doesn't look bigger than 10 inches. I don't understand what he's talking about.
Yeah.
These British people don't understand the metric system. Like, I've been with 11-inch penis. That is not... What are you talking about?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would kill to have a 9.5-inch penis, but I think I would be able to walk around in public without being stared at. Especially, just wear boxer briefs and push it up.
Yeah. What is he? He's just like wearing cargo shorts, like freeballing it. And he's
who
like,
knows?
People are staring at me.
He's also only 5'6", which means that when his dick is erect, it's the equivalent of 1/12 of his height. Anyway, here he is talking about how it was difficult when he started having sex with girls.
Than men.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing, especially when I was younger and, you know, first losing virginity, that sort of thing. People who I was hooking up with, they'd never seen a before. So we'd have sex and then they'd be like, is sex meant to hurt like that? And I was like, oh, I hope not. Oh, no. But because I was 15, 16, I also didn't know. So I was like, oh, this is just normal. All these poor people.
I don't know. He sounds really unsexy to me.
Yeah, I can't believe this is like a story. I can't believe there's like an interview.
This is just British people bullshit.
Yeah, like this, like, they ran out of good ideas. Yeah, and they were like,
this is British people fuckery.
Yeah,
this is British people. If you're listening, this is fuckery.
Yeah,
straight up fuckery.
Agreed.
Well, on that note, our guest today is the social media manager at Mr. Man, the website that specializes in locating, rating, and posting instances of male nudity in film and television. The site regularly releases lists, like their recent list of the best male ass-eating scenes. So please give a warm-ass welcome to Dayana Ortiz.
Hi.
Dayana.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good, how are you?
Good, we have a slight echo with you, which sometimes happens with the clean feed, but hopefully that will fade. JB is working on it. Dayana, when I reached out to Mr. Man to request an interview, I just assumed that I'd be speaking to a gay guy.
Yeah.
Which is sexist on my part.
No, there's a lot of people will assume, especially when like I interact with people on the Instagram, that it is a gay man, but it's me.
It's just you.
It's just me, and I love dicks as much as the rest of them. So
good for you.
Thank you so much.
But I do think of gay guys as being like the prime audience for Mr. Man. Am I wrong about that?
No, definitely. Yeah, I think we launched the site back in like 2013-ish, and definitely that was kind of like where we were aiming towards. We do have some women that will come to the site and that like are on our Instagram and Twitter, but for the most part, we're marketing towards gay men.
Yeah, it seems that way to me, especially with the way the lists are made up. I mean, I'm sure there are women that want to see men's dicks, but do they really want to see men eating other men's asses?
Yeah, maybe not so much.
How does Mr. Man find its nude scenes? I think we all imagine that it's like Seth Rogen and his stoned friends sitting around and knocked up. How does it work?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's kind of like that. We're definitely like having fun in the same way that they are in the movie, but we're just not all on couches. We do have a content team that will kind of quickly fast forward through all the content that we get, be it like TV shows or films or anything like that, to find and clip the nude scenes. We also have like, it sounds very fancy and very like what a job to have. But
how do
scouts.
I apply for that job?
Yeah, right. All you do is watch porn all day. There's also people like Mr. Skin and Mr. Man scouts that will like go out to film festivals. So if it's like the new Harry Styles movie, My Policeman, that we were like, are we getting Harry Styles nudes? Like, we gotta know. So they would go out and like document all that to then take it back to us, so then we can wait until it comes out and then tell everybody about it. But we kind of have a man on the person on the inside.
What is your relationship with the studios? Do they want, I mean, I would imagine if I were a studio PR person, I would want my movie to get any publicity possible. So if I've got a dick scene in my movie, I would reach out to you guys ahead of time and say, hey, keep an eye out for this. Does that happen?
No, I would love if that happened. It's a lot of like, especially with the studios, especially like now, like let's take Don't Worry Darling, for example, like there was a bunch of like, maybe this, maybe that, like a lot of hearsay, but nobody knew for sure. And I think that's what they like. They like the mystery of it, for you to be like, is this person going nude? I don't know. Come see the movie. So they won't tell us anything.
I feel like that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Who generally makes up your staff? Is it gay men, straight women, straight men? Like who's the typical, what's the demographic of the typical Mr. Man staffer?
Yeah, it's a nice mix, which is I was very surprised at when I first started working there, because it's Mr. Man and Mr. Skin all combined. You know, we will you know, work.
You're not segregated in separate buildings.
Exactly. Yes, I know, we are together. So it's a good mix of straight people and queer people. Maybe about, like, you know, I'd say 60% men, 40% women. But the one thing that we always are sure, like, we like to remind ourselves when we're working, is that, like, we're just happy that people are going nude. Don't matter if it's a dick, don't matter if it's boobs, like, show us what you got. That's kind of what we are like, we want to see at work. So it's a very welcoming.
Are any of you guys nudists yourselves?
No, that it definitely has, like, lessened my inhibitions towards nudity. Like, I'm very comfortable around nudity now. Like, I've been with the company for 3 years, and it was just kind of interesting. Not that I was a prude before, but it's very interesting now to be like, oh yeah, like, I'll watch movies and be like, oh good, that person went nude, that's great for them, happy for them.
Yeah, because my co-host today, Drew and I, we've both done naked comedy gigs before. And there are nudist groups, I'm sure you know this, who probably love your sites, mm-hmm. because they're not necessarily about wanting to see sex. They really love nudity. They just love yes. seeing naked people, and they love being naked themselves. And I would think that would be like a – if you haven't targeted them, you definitely should, Deanna.
That honestly is a great idea. I've heard about, like, comedy shows happening at nudist places where, like, the comedians are nude as well.
Yep.
But I had never thought about reaching, you know, seeing – connecting that to work.
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot of people that love nudity out there. I actually don't like being naked in public, but if you pay me for it, I will do it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So which movies, if you happen to know, feature the most male nudity of all time? Like, what are the top naked male movies?
Yeah. So we do have a list right now. Right now, the one with the most male nudity of all time is Voyage from 2013 with 18 nude scenes. Not surprising to me. They're the most of the list that we have are foreign films that have the most nudity.
Yeah, what's Voyage?
Yeah.
Voyage, it's a movie that was made in Hong Kong. And it's just basically like this, the main guy's voyage. So he's like, you know, it's like a coming of age story. And there's 18 nude scenes. Almost every man in the movie is naked, and almost every nude scene is a full frontal scene. The different celebrities in there, let's see. Sebastian Castro is the star. Adrian Rong Hung, Hung, very aptly named.
Yes.
So a lot of foreign films will have a lot of nudity, especially male nudity. We're seeing now through, like, TV shows and some film in America, a lot more male nudity because people are excited about it more than they were in the past, which is awesome. But for the most part, most of the nude scenes are foreign films. Like, Taekwondo is a really great South American film that has 14 nude scenes. And it's just such a visceral scene to me. This guy is, like, fully nude, sitting on a kitchen counter peeling an orange, and his dick is out, and it's an uncut dick, and it's just such a clear scene. Like, the sun is, like, it's a very well-lit scene. Like, you don't see a lot of that in American nude scenes as well. It's always, like, a mystery or a cloud or a shadow, and, like, a shadow of a dick. Like, you don't see anything full on.
Yeah, you just reminded me of that scene in the beginning of Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yes.
Who's that actor who I love?
Jason Segel
is standing there getting dumped by his girlfriend, and he's completely naked and crying with his dick out. And it's a long scene, and it's well lit. And I feel like those are scenes that never would have happened even 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And suddenly it's like real movie stars are showing their junk.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like not – you know, maybe in the past people would think, oh, that's the end of their career or whatever. Like, how could they do that? You're not a serious actor anymore. But yeah, that scene is a great full on, like, and it's funny too. The latest Jackass movie has 13 nude scenes in it, which is a lot, but you know,
oh, I need to see that.
Come on, Jackass.
I love Jackass.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, for me, there's a lot of male nudity in comedy scenes, like using male nudity as for comedic effect. But what I like more, and I think is more important on Mr. Man, is to be like, let's just celebrate male nudity and, like, queer relationships, queer sex, all that stuff, instead of being like, here's my dick, isn't it funny? Which is hilarious, but...
That's true, because, I mean, I guess women's tits and naked bodies have been used comedically as well. I'm thinking of Airplane, where you see the woman's tits bouncing up and down. But more often than not, it's sexual when women are naked in movies. And you're right, it has traditionally been like, ha-ha, funny, here's a ball slipping out or something like that, rather than it being sexy.
Yes, and now, I mean, now we're seeing a lot of sexy, and even in like TV shows, like I also have the top TV show, I mean, no surprise, the top TV show with male nudity in it is Shameless with 118 scenes.
Yes, and quite a lot. I started watching Shameless and I kind of got into it and then lost interest, but apparently in season two, there is an actor, and you'll know his name, Deanna. He's got long hair, he's beautiful, and he's got a huge cock.
Oh, yeah, yes. And he's like hanging out with Joan. He's like sleeping with an older woman.
Yeah, what's his name?
I'm going to look it up right now. I can see his face. He's wearing headphones.
He is stunning, and his dick is so big and so visible. I need to go back and watch all of Shameless.
Season two.
Yes. It's in season two where he is.
His name is on the tip of my mouth.
I know. Literally, I can like. It's so funny. I'm pulling up the scene right now. I can see his face.
Me too.
But I just cannot.
I mean, all of him is hot.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
Justin Chadwick, is that? No, we'll find it. Sorry.
You don't have to do that work. I'll figure it out. But in the meantime, what American star has been naked on screen the most? Do you happen to know?
Oh, yes. American? I mean, right now, the one with the most nude scenes is Ewan McGregor with 27 nude scenes. The latest ones, he was in Halston, that has some really great scenes. He's always naked. His dick is always out, and bless him for that. But he's like, and he's not afraid to like go full frontal. In Velvet Goldmine, he was naked. Marlon Wayans has been nude. He has 20 nude scenes. So I think that would be like the most American one.
Marlon Wayans, really?
Yeah. I was honestly super surprised when I heard that too.
JB is nodding his head.
Marlon Wayans, in all of his movies, he's at least shown his ass one or two times. And that's what he finds funny.
His butt.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, 20 nude scenes. That's a lot.
Hold on. I'm still looking up the Shameless thing, but we're all obsessed here looking for that guy's name. Why is there so much interest? I mean, this is a question not just about Mr. Man, but about Mr. Skin as well. Why is there continued interest in celebrity nudity when we can all watch porn for free anytime we want just by, you know, clicking on our phone or our laptop?
Yeah, you know, I think it's like we have these like parasocial relationships with celebrities. So maybe it's a little bit more shocking when they go nude, or you can connect with them more. You feel like you know them, like when you're watching interviews or social media stuff and all that thing. So you feel like you have more of a personal connection to them, so that when you see their dick, it's like a little bit more of that, like maybe shock or I don't know, appreciation, because you're like, that's that's my buddy Ben Affleck on the screen right now.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I think it's maybe like you're so drawn to them and you're so attracted to them that when they finally do go nude, it's more of like that kind of connection.
That's interesting. I think we feel like we have some kind of relationship with them. And now we're like, oh, Zach McGowan.
Thank you. Yes.
Listeners,
absolutely.
Google Zach McGowan penis and you will be glad that you did.
Yes. You know what? I'll link to it on the Mr. Man Twitter account. I can post a picture straight there.
Please. And you're just Mr. Man, right? At Mr. Man.
Yeah, Mr. Man. Yeah.
How do we know, Deanna, when we see a male penis or ass on a screen, how do we know we're not seeing body doubles?
How do you guys know? It is so funny. Like, when I first started working for Mr. Skin, the meetings that we would have, like, in a conference room, looking at pausing things, zooming in, like, really trying to figure out, like, let's get a good look. Like, it's just so funny the way we do some pretty intense work to look for seams. Like, a lot of time prosthetic dicks just look too good. Like, if you're looking at a really good dick on screen, it's just too good to be true, then it kind of is. Or maybe they just have a really nice
except
dick.
For Zach McGowan.
Yeah, except for Zach McGowan, that's all real. We're looking for like seams where you can see like, oh, when it's connected, you can see it kind of a seam, and we're looking hard. Or also like quick cuts, you know, or quick cuts and also like weirdly shot things where you're very strategic that you can't see their face. That's kind of like the first signs that we're looking at a body double. Also, if like a celebrity has never gone nude before and like had made statements about like, I'm not going nude, and then suddenly they have a nude scene and it's not like highly marketed, we're like, okay, well, that's probably a double.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, you're saying like, let's say, I don't know, Tom Cruise is going to show his dick. Mm-hmm. He's not just going to show his dick and not say anything about it. He's going to give an interview. He's going to discuss why he decided to finally do this. The director is going to talk, right? Because they want 100%. People to flock to the movie.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Like in Brokeback Mountain, Jake Gyllenhaal used a body double for when they're like jumping off a cliff into the water. And it's just like, it's shot in a way where you can kind of see that it's not him, but it's far enough away where you can see his dick, but also not his face. But Heath Ledger went nude for it, but Jake Gyllenhaal did not.
You just so ruined like, Brokeback Mountain for me.
No.
How dare
the
you?
The entire movie's ruined.
How dare you? Drew, do you have a question for Deanna?
I do, yeah. Okay. Also, hi, I'm Drew. I'm co-hosting today's episode. Hi. Okay, so there, I feel like with Euphoria, especially, they were using like prosthetic penises. Like, do you think that that is going to be like a bigger trend now for like for actors to just be like, oh, I want like a fake penis? But also, I kind of like, why is that even a thing? Like, I don't even understand why they would like go through all the hassle to like make a fake penis for like a nude scene, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking it's like, there's so much that goes into it. So, like, what's the nude scene? How long is the dick going to be on screen? Like, especially with Euphoria, I don't, you know, when in intimacy coordinators and all that stuff. I mean, for me, I'm like, let us just see your dick. What's the big deal? But I do think that people will be utilizing them a lot more in the future. Like, now that, you know, which is great that Hollywood is giving actors this place to be, you know, if you're not comfortable, sure, let's do this instead. Absolutely. But I also think, like what we were saying before, there's so much, and to take Euphoria into example, there's so much nudity in there that is celebrated.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's, you know, there's two points of it. To be like, if you're not comfortable, use a fake dick. Absolutely. But if you're feeling safe and welcome and warmed on, you know, what you're doing, and you want to be this, you know, and you want to be free as an actor, pop your dick out.
To point out also that not all the dicks on Euphoria are fake. The infamous guy sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
That blonde, yes, extra with his dick hanging out, that's right. Real.
Yeah.
It's real. Yeah. And then there's like one in season two, there's a locker room scene. Henry Eichenberry, I think his name is, or something like that. And there's a locker room scene and his dick is out. And it's like, it's great. And it's like probably one of the most highly converted things that we have for Euphoria. People are looking for this scene and it's a quick shot, but they really like it.
I love how this is your life. I have to just like, yeah, when you're not at work,
yeah,
and you're just with your friends, or I don't know if you have a relationship, like, are you talking about dicks?
Not really. It was very surprising that like this is my job right now. But like I said before, it's like really like opened my mind to like nudity and being like aware of it and all this stuff and like welcoming it in on film and whatever. I never really thought about it before. But I will, when I go see movies with my friends, I will make a maybe subconscious note. Like, I went to go see Zola in theaters and there was a bunch of dicks on screen, no female nudity at all. And so I was like, that's really interesting. Like, that's probably a very conscious decision that the director made. And my friends were like, how did you, what? What are you talking about? There's no female nudity. I'm like, I don't know how I did that. Like,
analyzing the movie.
Yeah. And I love pop culture. I love talking about celebrities. I have a bunch of celebrity crushes. And so when I talk to my friends about their celebrity crushes, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh my God, yeah, like that nude scene in that movie. And they're like, wait, what? I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, because I think there are probably very few women in the world who are as well versed as you are in this very specific subject matter. Do you feel like it's made you something of a dick connoisseur? Like, do you know now like what a perfect penis should look like, as opposed to maybe before you had this job?
Absolutely, and also like it. I think it's also helped me appreciate that like all dicks are different and like
yes.
all bodies are different, right? So like when I first started working, I was working on the Mr. Skin side and I was like, huh, turns out my nipples are very normal. And like
because you saw nipples that were not.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, dicks can look like this, they can look like that. And so now anytime I encounter one, I'm like, huh, interesting. I'm going to add that to, I'm going to categorize that away, you know, that it's like, I think it's helped me appreciate that all bodies don't have to be this very picturesque thing, which is what you get a lot of in porn, right? You get a lot of like the super great dicks and this hard cut bodies, which is great. But also I think it's, kind of made me appreciate that. It's like, it doesn't have to be like that. It can be across the board and it's still hot.
Yeah. I mean, they are like snowflakes.
Exactly.
We do a lot of lists on this podcast, which is pretty much when Mr. Man comes up. It's when we do one of your lists. We recently did a list of the top streaming shows for male nude scenes, which, by the way, I have to say, streaming has to have changed the game as far as nudity on screen, right? There's way more nude content than there ever was because there's so much content.
Absolutely. Yes. Like every platform, new shows, new nudities across the board, like not even just in America, like we're going overseas, we're getting all this different content, all these different shows that are now on Netflix that have nude scenes for you to watch.
Well, one list that you did, which we haven't covered, but we should, is your list of the top 10 celebrity twinks. Drew Lausch himself.
I know.
Why,
how come I didn't make the list?
You definitely should.
Damn.
Who comes up with the ideas for the list? This is the meeting I would love to be at.
Yeah, that's mostly the writers and the content team. So, you know, big holidays and stuff like Christmas or Thanksgiving will have like those types of themes, but also it's just like, what do people want to see? You know, we'll kind of like cover the board that if people are searching for twinks, hey, we'll give you a list, you know, or like, hey, who's the sexiest bears on Mr. Man? We're like, hey, you know what? We'll put it all on a list for you. Make it real easy. You can just click through. So it's a little bit of all of us. It's a little bit of the content team, or if like a new, like that ass eating scene they were talking about in Holy Family just came out, which is very hot and very well shot, that we're like, oh, let's put that together with the White Lotus scene. Let's do some ass eating. Like, let's put this together. So be like, oh, if you liked this, you're going to love this.
Yeah, the ass eating list, I'm very intrigued.
Mr. Man is bringing people together. Absolutely. All I'm hearing is that I feel like this is like, it's so good for like shame and like, because I think just like what you were saying, like, it's like all we see, or we used to only see perfect bodies, but it's like the more naked bodies on screen from all different types of like body types, I think it's just like such a win. Because it's like, then you get to see yourself, you know, on camera and stuff. I don't know. I feel like it's great for like shame complexes.
Totally. By the way, Deanna, who is the top twink? I didn't write down the list.
The number one top twink. I can see it.
Is it Timothy?
It is.
No, he's on the
Timothy.
List.
Timothy.
Really?
Yeah, he's number one. Yeah. And then we had people vote and it looks like the number one that got voted was Nicholas Howe in Like Cattle Towards Glow, which is a really good scene. He's jerking off like next to the window and it's very like solemn and, you know, romantic, but it's just this guy.
Just nope. A little sound effect there.
I was like, oh.
Also not a solemn jerking off scene. Like,
no, yeah.
My
yeah.
God.
All of my jerking off scenes are solemn. Yeah. Deanna, are you also a stand-up comedian?
I am, yeah.
Because I found you online and I'm like, wait a second, is this the same Deanna Ortiz?
Where
can we see your comedy?
Oh my gosh, thanks. I'm in Chicago, so I do stand up at the Lincoln Lodge every Friday and Saturday night. And then wherever independent shows will have me. Sometimes I'm at the Laugh Factory, I was at Zany's earlier in the week. You know, it's just wherever people will ask me to perform.
Now I have to imagine that you used your job as material. You must.
I didn't for a really long time because I didn't want people to objectify me. You know, I was like, when I tell people that I run these accounts that's focusing on nudity, I also run affiliate accounts that have hardcore porn on them, like kink.com and Kink Men. So those are the accounts that I'm running. And I thought that people would hear that and look at me and be like, oh, I want to, like, this girl, I'm going to talk to her about
my dick. Like you were
going to
be a freak in bed.
Exactly, yeah. And so which wasn't really my stand-up material, so very recently I've started integrating it a little bit more, and it's fun, you know, to talk about my day job, which is awesome and so cool and such a unique experience, and then kind of bringing that for people to listen to. It's been great.
Last question, any like Halloween lists or features coming up that we should keep our eyes peeled for on MrMan.com?
You know, I am not sure. We're definitely going to do some like top horror scenes coming out on Monday. We have a couple of them right now. That's like the hottest scary scenes in horror movies and horror TV shows that you can find on our blog post.
Deanna Ortiz, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for doing this. Everybody go to MrMan.com and MrMan on Twitter. Deanna, best of luck to you. Drew, plug yourself.
At Real Drew Lausch on Instagram and at Drew Lausch on TikTok.
JB.
We're out of time.
Bye.